You're listening to 90.1 KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for Radioactive Magazine. This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. We're welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We're waiting for Councilman Quentin Lucas to show up. We're going to be talking about housing. And our guest host today on Radioactive Magazine is Miko. Miko, you have done a number of shows on homeless. You've done three so far, I believe.
Yes, we've done several shows on reviving homes in Kansas City in the urban core. When we're talking about this, because it's not always obvious what goes into renovating a home, and because I would like to renovate a home, I felt, well, if I don't know how to do it, I'm sure some other people don't know how to do it too, and that's what I've been finding out. A lot of people don't know what goes into the process of revitalizing a house in Kansas City.
Now, what can you tell us about way it's kind of been framed is there are some houses that are abandoned houses that are available for a dollar. Isn't that sort of on a seasonal basis, or what's going on with that right now?
That's a new program that just started this year, the Dollar Homes. And the thing with the Dollar Homes is Kansas City was able to put together a decent program to offer over 100 homes or so for a dollar. And these homes were being offered for a dollar. They were like the worst of the abandoned homes that were out there. But if you were someone who wanted to buy one of these homes, then the city would give you a sort of grant if you were the one who was going to stay in that home. So instead of paying $8,500 to demolish the house, they give the person who was staying in that house the $8,500. So some incentives to help us keep those homes on those lots rather than having abandoned lots on our neighborhoods.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you've had a couple of other guests. Do you remember, who else have you talked to about the subject?
We've talked to Ted Anderson, who's the executive director of the Kansas City, Missouri Land Bank, and he told us a lot about what it takes to get one of the dollar homes. That I believe that period has expired, and so any homes that are left over will be demolished. And so we'll go into another season, I guess, next year to try the dollar homes again. I know that other cities are interested in how Kansas City handled that dollar house program, so it looks like it's something we'll be doing again.
Okay. And you you spent some time volunteering today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Today I did my first volunteer stint at Habitat for Humanity, and it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. We started at about 8 o'clock and went until about 3 o'clock. And today we worked on a home in near 35th and Paseo, just off Paseo. And what we did was we put siding on the house. It turned out that the siding that we put on was very expensive, but it had been donated by a company. And it was just a lot of fun working with the other volunteers. And Cameron, who was our ninja cutter, who was our supervisor, he helped us, you know, move from one point to the next and work together as a team. And it was just a lot of fun, actually.
Have you done this many times in the past? Is this why housing? It seems like it's kind of one of your many interests. I know you have a lot of interests out there.
That's a good question. The reason why housing was back in October, there was the Crime Commission, because we were having a lot of issues in our communities with crime, and there were some murders and things like that. And the mayor initiated a crime commission. And when he did, it really rang a bell in me, because I was thinking that I used to live overseas, and one of the things that we did overseas was we get into the community, renovate like a community center or maybe someone's homes, and then when people
came together to do those renovations, you know, young people, old people, teens, everybody came together and they put their hands to the work, and it caused the community to come together in such a way that it made me think we should be able to do this kind of thing here in Kansas City too. Instead, I think people sometimes when they have too much time on their hands and they're tripping over each other and getting frustrated with each other, it would be good to be able to, you know, give them some work to do, get that energy off and do it to something that would be helpful and learn how to maintain a home and help our neighborhoods to grow.
Now, are you yourself a Kansas City native?
Actually.
There's no wrong answer to this, by the way. It's okay.
No, I'm from Overland Park.
Greater Kansas City area. That's good enough.
When you live overseas, you're from Kansas City.
There you go. Right. Absolutely.
So, but in coming back here, I spend a lot of time in Kansas City. So I feel like as I get to know the neighborhoods more and more, I feel like I'm becoming a part of Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, you've done a great job with Radioactive Magazine. How did you? What got you interested in doing radio?
Working a lot because I lived in Ghana, West Africa, and in Ghana there's a lot of entrepreneurial activity similar to what's going on here in Kansas City. And after a long day of networking, I've come home and I didn't have a television, but one thing I did have was a radio. And so I would listen to BBC and Voice of America and just different shows. And it really was the thing that kept me connected to what else was going on in the world. And sometimes when I saw how they handled certain issues, I'd say, I think I would do that differently. Or, oh, I like how they did that. And so it made me appreciate radio. Whereas when I was here in the States, I don't think I really noticed radio that much.
Well, I know that that you just kind of came in and started doing your own editing and stuff like that. How did you pick up those skills?
Well, when I came back to the States, then I took some journalism courses at Johnson County Community College, and I branched into radio as a host of a show. I even got to interview Steve Kraske one time.
interviewing the interviewee.
Right. That was a nice little switch. And after doing radio, I got into video production. And so I just wanted to learn how to do the things myself so that I could tell stories, because that was one thing that I got involved in when I was in Ghana. When you're in Ghana, a lot of times you're waiting around to take a tro-tro, which is like a bus, or to go one place or the other. And as you wait, you meet people, and then they tell you all kinds of stories. And you never know who you might be sitting next to, you know, and the story they tell is often so interesting, you know. And so after hearing so many stories, I said, you know, I would like to be able to tell these stories, and that's how things got started over here.
Now, I'm putting you on the spot because we're doing this cold. We're kind of waiting for our guest to show up, and hope he's on his way. But you know, you've been a really wonderful asset to the Radioactive Magazine. Do you have any ideas for future shows you're going to be working on?
Well, that's very kind of you. You guys have been very welcoming, and I really appreciate how I've been able to come in and kind of, you know, get into the swing of things. But yes, besides talking with Councilman Lucas, we plan to look at shows where we can find out more about financing for these homes, as well as talking to contractors who've already done these houses and they're kind of a pro at it. There's a individual by the name of Greg Take. He is a developer and he's working with some immigrants. But on the course of renovating houses, he's developed a manual that shows you how to do it so that you don't get any surprises along the way. And that, I think, is a good thing. And we'll be talking to also members of the neighborhood, people who may be the ones who get some of these houses. And talking to bankers to help people identify the financial products that are out there, because a lot of these homes are not the types of homes that many of the banks are willing to finance because they're less than $100,000. So when you're looking for a loan for like $50,000, there's not that many banks out there that are giving out those kind of loans.
It's not unlike the food deserts and all the other things you face in that part of the city, is it?
Right. So with that kind of specialization, uh-huh. we're wanting to find out who's doing those kinds of loans. And so far, I'm hearing about James B. Nutter as well as Wells Fargo, and you might even look at U.S. Bank. Different lending institutions they sometimes from one period to the next have different financial products, whether it's a credit card or a line of credit that could be a useful tool when you're trying to renovate one of these houses.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit about Radioactive Magazine. You know, this show is meant to cover as many different topics out there in the community as we can. So if there are people listening that have show ideas or topics that they think we ought to be covering in the community, or we have done a wide variety of different kinds of shows on this. We've talked about politics, we've talked a lot about climate change, we've talked about the housing problem, we've talked about the color barrier in Kansas City. So give us a call. Give me a call. I'm Bill at 816-517-4083, and we can talk about having you or somebody that you think would fit for our program on. And what we're going to do right now is play a couple of messages, and we'll be right back shortly. As soon as I find the button, I'll get it done. Here we go.
On the 46th anniversary of the Kent State Massacre, we present a special program reflecting back on that fateful day, May 4th. Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
The Black Lives Matter movement is inspiring some unions to take a stand for racial justice. This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we'll hear about it from a panel of union activists at last month's Labor Notes conference who are getting members talking to each other about race and the problem of police accountability. That's Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Veterans Voices Magazine, a writing publication for veterans, is starting a writing group in Kansas City. If you would like to learn how to compose and share your story, poem, photograph, or original artwork, then contact us at 816-701-6844 or see our website at veteransvoices.org. Writing from the soul, for the soul. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Okay, we're back, and I have to do a little bit of apologizing. I am a new engineer, so the last several weeks I've had the pleasure of coming in and having the pre-recorded show, so all I do is push a button, and when we're playing messages and talking on the microphones, sometimes I forget to turn the microphones on, and you have some dead air. Now, they define music as the space that happens between the notes, so just remember our radio, the talk on our radio is really defined by the spaces between our words. So anyway, I'm talking with Miko, and she spent the day with Habitat for Humanity, and that's actually sounds like housing's kind of been a passion for her. And so what else you got to tell us about Habitat for Humanity?
Well, Habitat for Humanity really has a lot of interesting things happening. They are the seventh oldest worldwide representative of Habitat Humanity here in Kansas City. And there's been over 325 houses restored in our immediate area. And what they do is they provide affordable housing to people who would not have been able to afford it. And they provided with a no interest loan. So the people, they're not getting a free house, but they're getting a house that they can pay back with a low mortgage, like in the $400 range, $400-$500 range. So it's really, they do three types of houses. They offer either a new house, which happens because there's a lot of vacant land here in Kansas City, so they can build a new house on that vacant land. Or they've been doing a little bit more renovations, and so they're just the other day, Quentin Lucas was handing the keys over to a family who had just moved into a renovated home. And they also, and when they do those renovated homes, they take them down to the studs. They don't mess around, you know, just getting rid of everything. Even today, the house that we were working on, they had already gone down to the studs, but then they found out that there was some termite damage. So, you know, you got to expect the worst when you're dealing with these houses. And the third type of renovation, I guess you might say they do, is they do home preservation, where they might go into a home where some individuals have been staying there for a while and they might need a wheelchair ramp or replacement windows or something like that. So they have a lot of different programs that really help to renovate the homes, and then they inspire other people in the neighborhood to kind of fix up their house. Because even today, we were working, and a couple neighbors came by. One guy came by asking if he could mow our lawn. And then another neighbor came by saying he had heard that we had termite damage. And he was saying, so do you think that he might have termite damage too? And so while there were people there trying to do a bid for our house, they checked out his house. So, you know, that awareness, you can't really pay for that. You can't underestimate how much of a value that is to the neighborhood, because that just raises the level of awareness and engagement that's in the neighborhood. It keeps, you know, the people talking to each other and keeps the neighborhood vibrant that way.
Do you have any idea what kind of a waiting list, either the dollar housing we were talking about or Habitat for Humanity? You know, I don't know what kind of a need there is out there. I imagine there's quite a need.
Yeah, I think more people are getting involved. As for the dollar homes, there was some competition for homes, but for the most part, there were some homes that were left over that people didn't get. I think as more people find out about the availability of these homes, then there'll be more people looking for them. I met a young lady, Nicole Davis. She was born here, raised here. She married, had children. But because of some family issues, she left and went to Maryland, and just recently came back after being, and she's only been back about 6 months. She said, when she came back and saw all these homes, she said, if people in Maryland could see all these homes and the prices that they're going for here, she said, they'd be snatching them up like crazy. I don't know if Kansas City, if we realize what a treasure we have. Yeah. With some of these houses, there you can drive down several blocks in Kansas City, and you'll see 10 to 12 vacant houses, and as well as several vacant lots. But the good thing about these neighborhoods is that you also see neighbors talking to neighbors. You see children playing in the streets. So these neighborhoods aren't entirely, you know, being damaged by the fact that you have the vacant houses there. But at the same time, vacant houses attract the type of situations that you don't want to have in your neighborhoods. Sure. A lot of times, young kids might break into the houses, or people might, vagrants might stay there. So you don't want that kind of activity. But if you can band together and be aware of what's going on, it really helps to renovate these homes and help to keep the neighborhood vibrant and maintained.
I imagine that, I know a number of those neighborhoods have their own neighborhood associations or plat associations or whatever, and I presume they probably get involved with this process as well?
Yeah, some of the neighborhoods, I think Ivanhoe is one of the ones that are more well-known. With Miss Margaret May. Yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out. I know Margaret May is probably not listening, but I worked for Social Security for 35 years, and she worked there as well.
Oh, okay.
Back before she retired. So anyway, she's a great person, and I'm quite aware of what of Ivanhoe. But go ahead.
You have that, and that's the key. Ted Anderson was telling me, I was asking him, well, how does a person choose a neighborhood. And he said it depends. And I said, how do you know which neighbor, are all the neighborhoods active? And he said, it's just like anything. You have some very active neighborhoods and you have some not so active neighborhoods. But if you go in and you go to the neighborhoods, you go to the ones that are a little bit more active, then you can find out what they are doing and why their neighborhoods work. And you can see then where you might want to locate yourself.
Okay, I believe our guest is he just came in the front door. So I'm going to see if I can find a message here to play, and maybe you can go to and meet him at the door there, and we can at least get him here for a couple of things. Again, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we are here talking. We're going to be talking soon with Councilman Quentin Lucas, who is a chair of the Housing Committee in the Tucson here, and we're going to play this message for you, and we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Pacers Kansas City presenting a talk on civil disobedience by Joy First on Thursday, April 28th at the Simpson
House. Okay, actually, we've got Councilman Quentin Lucas here with us. Welcome,
Spaghetti Councilman. Dinner at 6.
Hey, happy to be here.
Talk at
All
7.
Right. So we've been talking about
public
housing and so
90.1 KKFI.
I'm going to turn it over to Nico
City
there. And we got about 8 minutes, so go for it.
Well, welcome, Councilman Lucas. I'm not going to even introduce you.
Oh, that's fine.
I think most people know who you are, and if I do, it would take too long. So, but one thing I noticed the other day, you were handing over keys to one of the recipients of the Habitat for Humanity houses. What was all that about, and why were you involved?
Well, first I want to say thank you for having me here today. It is an honor to be with you. As you might have heard, there were some airport issues today here in Kansas City, which they made us talk about a little bit. But I prefer talking about housing, because there we really get a chance to talk about opportunities to move families into good neighborhoods to try to preserve neighborhoods. So what I was doing on Sunday was handing over keys, actually helping Habitat for Humanity do some of that work. They've been working with a number of church organizations, churches, synagogues, and other temples in Kansas and Missouri to help collaborate on home building for projects for a period of at least for these churches, 10 years. And it's brought a number of communities throughout Kansas City together. And frankly, I think it's a sign of how we can bring people from both sides of the state line, from different income brackets, to really work towards good projects. And the family was there too. And the thing that I saw that was most impressive was this was on the corner of about 30th and Highland. And there are a lot of dilapidated houses there. There are a lot of issues going on there. But I thought it was inspiring to see what Habitat was doing on that block, bringing one family at a time and saying that that's how we make a real difference in Kansas City. It's not home run projects. It's not airports. It's not hotels. It is houses. It is families. It is neighborhoods that make our city better.
You were born and you grew up here. How has housing changed since you were living in Kansas City and growing up with your sisters and your mom?
You know, I can talk for hours about it, and we only have a few minutes, but, it's changed a lot, namely in how we view housing for those who don't have a lot of resources. When I was born and when I was growing up, the idea of that big housing project was still a popular one, right? You warehouse all the people of lower economic means into one little area, and then in a way you forget about them. You forget about their issues, you forget about what's going on with them. I think now we've realized that we want to have communities, we want to build real communities, we want to have shopping, we want to have walkability, we want to have a lot of opportunities and resources for people instead of just actually having folks that are existing in some marginalized part of society.
And I think you call these neighborhoods survivable neighborhoods.
Yes.
So how do you see things going forward as far as what Habitat for Humanity is doing? Today I was telling our audience that I did my first volunteer day with Habitat for Humanity, and it was a lot of fun. And not only does it help to bring different members of economic groups together, but also when the volunteers come together, there's differences there too, but they come together with one thing in mind, and I think that's very helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in those kind of survivable neighborhoods where if you got out of it, almost like getting out of a rough patch in life or something like that, then you feel like you're stronger. But that said, I think it's nice more than anything, and we all see kids every day or other people. How much better does it feel if you get to start your day not worrying about violence, not worrying about your lights being on, not worrying about all of these community ills that impact so many parts of our city? And so what I hope these neighborhoods do is tell the kid that lives at 13th and Paseo up the street from me that you're going into a neighborhood that has opportunity. You're going into a place where you have a future, not you're poor, you'll always be poor, this is always what your neighborhood and what your life is about.
I think that when we see individuals like yourself who were born and raised in these communities and have made it out and gone and done, you know, different things. You went to school at...
Cornell Law School was where I went. So I was in upstate New York and had a fantastic college career, Washington University in St. Louis. But all these colleges that cost more per year than my mother had ever made in life and continues to be a lot more expensive than what she makes.
So that's an inspiration for children, and not only for children, but just for the community. And I think we're seeing a lot of people being able to make it out and come back, and that's the good thing. Where you have the brain drain, everybody leaves, you have black flight, white flight, all kinds of flight. Now it seems like, okay, for whatever reason, like I think I've heard you say, people are seeing these communities and they're paying attention again. What do you think are some of the issues, maybe in a very short minute, you can tell us how, now that people are paying attention, how is that going to impact the neighborhood? How do we keep the neighborhoods together? How do we keep the neighborhoods from being, gentrified?
Yeah. It's going to take some work. It's going to, because that is an issue that we deal with a lot. There is a lot of black flight in Kansas City now. Some people don't think about a lot. And, you know, a few steps I think are important in it. First, I think we need to make sure we're supporting small businesses that exist in all neighborhoods of Kansas City. I want to see that barbershop on 69th and Prospect stay. I want to see that beauty shop, not just barber and beauty, but nevertheless, some of them that I know. So we want to keep those people who've been invested in our neighborhoods there for some time. I think in addition to that, we also want to make sure that we're not just incentivizing things that move people out of the neighborhood. We can't just take a sledgehammer approach and say, well, we want a giant box grocery store here, and that will change the neighborhood. Instead, we have to look at who's been invested in the communities already. So I think that's a very big part. And then finally, I would suggest that we need to continue to invest in things that are important for people of all income groups. Community centers, good public works, good public safety, basically making it the Kansas City's livable so that we can stop that immigration out of Kansas City.
Well, Councilman Lucas, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and visit us. This is the fourth episode of Reviving KC.
Yeah, and we'd like to invite you to come back. We can continue this conversation.
Be delighted. Thank you.
Yeah. And we plan to talk a lot more about housing and revitalizing the inner core, one home, one neighborhood, one vibe at a time, because, you know, this is all coming together. Kansas City is being featured for so many things, and we want to make sure that everybody's included.
Well, I want to thank both of you for the work you do in Kansas City. It's great stuff. So you've been listening to Radioactive Magazine, and stay tuned for Counterspin coming up. Yeah.